Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hey, y'all. We wanted to share with you some of the fun we've been having over on Patreon.
We're bringing you short clips from some of our best Patreon bonus content.
Subscribe to our Patreon to get full versions of all of these clips and so you don't miss the free Britney minisode update that will be released soon.
In this peek, we're going to bring you a clip from our recent minisode on the McDonald's strip search scam, which honestly, we're both still thinking about. It is, whew,
yeah,
unbelievable.
Yikes.
Then you'll hear us give a listener some advice in a clip from our Dear Sinister advice segment.
Next, you'll get a taste of true crime headlines, where we discuss a cluster of mysterious suicides at a college in Missouri and one man who was linked to all of them. Finally, we have a clip from our most recent minisode, updating you on the Love Is One cult, the death of Mother God, and the bizarre condition in which the police found her.
If you'd like what you hear, head over to sinisterhood.com and click on Patreon on the top banner for all the full details on the benefits and to subscribe today. And you also can see the video of me drowning in the ball pit on my second birthday that we talked about on the And That's Why We Drink crossover episode.
And then you can also read over 100 comments from Patreons on the video talking about how epic it is. And it is. It's absolutely worth it. That alone is worth the price of admission.
The number one thing that people were excited about was that you get to hear my mom's actual voice going, Heather, she fell in the ball pit.
You'll get to see that it's a spot on impression that Heather does. Yes.
Well, we hope you like what you hear. Enjoy.
I have, I think I said in one of our last episodes, I've never been more appalled with my jaw on the floor since Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yeah.
Which, if y'all haven't seen that documentary, stop what you're doing right. Stop this. Pause this. Go watch that. Come back. Because it is why it's bonkers.
It's quite a ride.
I had similar feelings while researching this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one that when I heard about it in about a 10-second clip about something, I don't know, I was watching a show about something else, and it was like a throwaway line of like, yeah, you know the strip search scams that happened at all those McDonald's. And I thought, what the hell, huh? So I looked it up, and I texted you and said, I have an idea for a minisode. Because it was gripping for me to just read a summary of what happened, and then when you start digging into the evidence. But to clarify, briefly, when I was initially reading about it, I thought this happened in like the 70s.
No.
And then I was like, oh my God, this was our time. Like, this was recent. I was the same age as the victim, yeah, almost. It's somehow that made it more scary to me that you think, oh, those fools back, yeah, in the 60s and 70s, they had no idea. The silly, silly fools. But no, no, this was like recent. Mm-hmm. This was within a stone's throw of where we are today. So somehow that made it to me scarier that, oh, this isn't a relic of the past that people are crank calling folks.
Yeah.
This is something that still happens to this day.
I do remember when the footage got leaked after this, oh, okay, happened. So I remember seeing, but I never really looked into what the story really was or the details. So,
mm-hmm,
it's harrowing.
Yeah, it's a sick to your stomach, yeah, wild ride. Yeah. So, well, welcome to the minisode, guys.
Which is actually fairly long. We talked about doing this as a full episode, but we wanted you guys to have the secret stuff.
The secret sauce. Mm-hmm. Wait, is McDonald's a secret?
Oh, God. That's not a
isn't that what?
Did I make a McDonald's reference?
Special sauce.
They were special sauce, yeah.
Because that's the Big Mac.
Do you remember when, oh man, I guess it was the 80s, so you might not, when you would get the newspaper delivered and there would be a CD from McDonald's ran this contest type of thing. I don't even know if it was a contest. I think it may have been, but they had that whole rap or that whole song that was like, two all beef patties.
Beef patty, special, yes, sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
There was some kind of contest they did where they put a CD with that in the newspaper. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, let me know. Bernstein moment I'm having right here, but I'm fairly confident there was something like this. But
have you ever seen the McDonald's commercial with Jason Alexander?
I don't know if I have.
It was before he was famous on Seinfeld, and there was a special hamburger. Tell me how this makes sense. Rather than serving you a hamburger totally made, they were going to give you the hot components on one package and the cold lettuce and tomato on the separate side, and then you could put it together, and that way your lettuce and tomato wouldn't get mushy.
Oh, that's Tommy Brown's alley right there.
I like hot, wet lettuce. Oh. Is that just me?
I don't know if it's just you, but Tommy has so many rules about stuff with food.
I remember you talking about his ice cream rules, dude, that you have to get the ice cream last at the grocery,
yes,
store.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But the lettuce on hot stuff is another thing too with him.
So, well, I'm sorry for him that they took away this menu item, but Jason Alexander, because he's a profesh singer, dancer, Broadway, yeah, kind of guy. So he's like singing and dancing about it.
Does sound vaguely familiar.
It's one of those where it's like, before they were famous, and they play it on, you know, yeah, whatever, Access Hollywood, stuff like that. So, but yeah, there's something to be said about separating your lettuce from your buns. But I like it. I like the hot, wet lettuce.
I think Tommy doesn't get lettuce specifically because of that.
He foregoes the lettuce.
He does. I think I'm right about that. But see, I like it Whataburger where it's like the diced up lettuce.
Oh yeah, shredded kind of.
And it's hot with the, oh, the delicious, oh, yeah, hot mayonnaise.
I love hot Whataburger.
God
damn
Whataburger is so good.
Get out of here.
Oh, my
get
God,
out of here.
Whataburger.
Your car smells like onions for decades. It never gets out of the
I get no onions.
Oh, I love the diced onions.
The diced onions are really good. I just get no onions because I can't not taste onions for days after I eat them. Days.
It's overwhelming.
Yes,
overwhelming.
It is. I'll eat cooked onions, but raw onions, whew. That does it to me. Yeah. Well, man, my mouth is literally watering right now. I'm going to swallow all this down.
Now we're food horny. We get ourselves riled up, yes, about food, especially Whataburger. But yeah, that Whataburger was not one of the ones hit in this spree.
No, they weren't. They weren't. Probably because Whataburger is mostly Texas. There is some in other places, but mostly. And this did not, from what
regional,
I read, occur in Texas. Yes. Well, let's get into it. Between 1995 and 2005, fast food restaurants across the country were plagued by phony phone calls that had employees committing bizarre acts. According to the Louisville Courier-Journal, the first of such incidents occurred in 1995 in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Call after call was made, asking employees to strip down, spank others, or do tasks while naked. But why wouldn't these employees just simply hang up? Simple. Every single caller had claimed to be the police, investigating customers or coworkers for committing a crime. So right out the gate.
Right out the first one.
If, and man.
We're calling this new segment Dear Sinister because we take advice questions from people on Reddit and whether they're assholes or not. We thought we would take some advice from you. And this was inspired by one of you lovely folks who sent this question in to us. You have asked us for anonymity. So we're going to tell everybody your name was Brunhilde, which I think is a great name. Not real at all. And also changed some city names and some other stuff. Mm-hmm. So but it is a real piece of advice question from one of our lovely listeners and patron subscribers. So we love you, Brunhilde. Thank you so much for sending this in.
Yes, and future Brunhildes,
yes,
or
yes,
whoever, send your stuff in. I'll create a page on Patreon where you can send stuff. You can also, it's actually, honestly, email your stories and questions.
Yeah.
It's easier for us to filter that way. So
yes.
You can just,
and also more
email
private.
To the show. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
we can keep your stuff private. So email Dear Sinister.
Yeah, don't post just on Patreon. Everyone will see it. I'm an idiot. Don't listen to me at all.
No, not at all. Just say in the subject line, Dear Sinister, and then let us know what your cool fake name will be. And we're happy to answer your advice questions. Mm-hmm. So we are excited to get this new segment off the ground. So, hello, my favorite ladies. I was going to ask for advice, but I decided to make a choice anyhow. Here's my story. For the last 5 months, I was dating a man. He was my boyfriend. He split his time between Chicago because he worked in Chicago where I am, but he was living in Indianapolis helping take care of his grandmother with dementia. Now, if I'm being honest with you guys and myself, there were times that my intuition was screaming at me, but I've been trying to be a more trusting and not so cynical person. And he was always so sweet and seemed so honest. Anyhow, we broke up very suddenly and stuff wasn't sitting right with me. So being who I am, I probably belong in the FBI or at least a PI. Last Wednesday this week, a week after our breakup, I finally said, okay, I'm going to dig into a few things. It took me exactly 3 hours to find out he had created an entire fake identity and that this man who had been in my home, who had shared my time, my body and everything with, was a total lie. I did not even know his name. Not only that, I very quickly realized he had a wife. I felt so stupid that I had never done all of this before, but I've been working on being more trusting and now I absolutely will never do that again. It's cynicism forever now, baby. Due to my skills, I was able to find his wife and find her phone number. I was debating if I should call her or not. I decided to sleep on it because I thought, I don't want to ruin this woman's life just to get back at him, right? So I had to think long and hard about what I needed to do. I wasn't going to jump on social media and do the trend where cheaters get exposed, but their unknowing innocent partners find out in a super traumatic fashion. Essentially, that's collateral damage, and I didn't want that. I ultimately decided that if I were her, I would want to know. I would need to know. We were having sex, not using condoms, etc. And I realized now I'm sure I'm not the only one. She deserves to know, but I needed to do it for her and not to do it to get revenge on him. I hope that makes sense. I found her. I called her and we talked. We sobbed. We each had so many suspicions that he had denied. She is so kind and so sweet. I was actually cheated on by my ex-husband, so I know how she felt, and I was absolutely sick over it. I sobbed as I apologized over and over because I would have never in a million years have knowingly participated in that type of horrible deceit. So I went ahead and did it. I had the evidence and the receipts. I was prepared that she may not believe me, and that's okay. But she asked if she could call me later and discuss it more. I'm angry and upset because she seems like a wonderful woman, and I'm furious that I was a pawn in a game where she had been absolutely damaged. I also told her that I will never again be a problem for their marriage. Whatever she wants to do, he is totally dead to me. He never really existed anyhow, right? Not the man I knew, at least. That's the man she's married to. I'm also horrified because I really miss the person who was my boyfriend, a person who literally doesn't exist, someone who was carefully crafted to be what he knew I wanted. So I guess maybe I do have a bit of advice question. Is there any legal recourse I can take to somehow let it be known that I did not consent to be with this person he ended up being? Also, some advice for you all. Never ignore your intuition. Never, ever, ever. If anyone else deals with something similar, the biggest thing I'd say for giving advice is this. If you're tempted to allow your anger to create a scenario where you blindly seek revenge, don't do it. Stop for a moment. Think of the collateral damage. I'm so glad I did not post him on Twitter or TikTok or something and had her learn that way. I'm glad I didn't do any additional harm or further humiliate this sweet, innocent woman. Anyway, talk about keeping it creepy. Love y'all. Thank you, Brunhilde, for sharing that deeply personal thing with us.
Thank you. And first, I just want to say I'm so sorry that this happened to you because that's, man, it makes total sense that you would grieve the loss of this relationship. But adding on to that grief is the fact that the person you're grieving didn't really exist. So you feel just completely gaslit. I mean, you were totally gaslit. You were lied to. You're a very sweet and kind person for not just dragging this dude all over the place, because we do see that on, you see that on TikTok all the time, mm-hmm. where someone's like, stitch this and tell me how you found out your ex was cheating on you. And one woman mm-hmm. I saw, she was looking through the paper and she saw his marriage announcement with another woman. Like, first of all, what, idiot, what are you doing? But,
oh my God.
Yeah. So I think you did the right thing by reaching out to her. If I was her, I would also want to know, especially if you're having unprotected sex and then he's having unprotected sex with her, you know, that's brings into a lot of other stuff. So you did the right thing. And it sounds like she kind of knew something was going on. Like you said, a woman's intuition rarely lies. Interesting question if there is any legal recourse.
Well, so that is an interesting question. I feel like we talk a lot about the difference in stuff that's illegal by statute and stuff that feels morally wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think if we live in a good society, that those things line up. You know, when we were talking about the woman whose mother-in-law poked a hole in her condom, mm-hmm. and if there was any, in some states, actually, there are legal recourse, not in Texas, unfortunately. So this, you know, it sucks because he falsified his identity, right? We want to introduce this new segment that is going to be called, I don't know, True Crime Headlines.
I like True Crime Headlines. Yeah.
There you go. I like a good rhyme. Mm-hmm. And we would take suggestions from you all. We wanted to do some Patreon bonus content that was tangentially related to true crime and kind of where, you know, what brought us all together in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so we have some articles that some of you sent some in or we've seen on our own. And then we're happy to take more suggestions from you all. We, you know, in the Am I the Asshole and Judge Christie and relationship advice is pretty, it's pretty silly. And as we were reading these headlines, there's nothing really funny about this.
No,
so
nah.
There's probably some warnings for what we'll discuss. We'll warn before each article what may be discussed. But we think they're fascinating and things we couldn't stop talking about with each other. So we thought it would make for good content.
Yeah. And most of these are fairly recent. Mm-hmm. So there are things that have been in the news recently, maybe not something we would do an entire episode on, but things that we would talk about with each other. So we want to include you guys in the conversation.
For sure. Well, let's get going.
Yes.
The first one is from The New Yorker, and it was sent in to our email. Who
it
sent
was.
This to us?
Aaron Callahan sent this in, just said, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And I started reading this. And then you started messaging me about something unrelated. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of an article. I'm completely engrossed. And you were like, what's the link? And I sent it to you. And then you sent a few minutes later, I am riveted. I stayed up way too long reading this because mm-hmm. I couldn't put it down.
I was making noises and Paris kept going, what is that? I said, stop it. I have to finish and then I'll tell you because I don't know how it ends.
Yes.
But as we said, we'll warn you up top. The title of the article is A Mysterious Suicide Cluster.
Yeah.
So that should give you a little bit of an indication of what this article is about. It is about a gentleman by the name of Brandon Grossheim, who is the subject of a civil lawsuit. He went to a college called Truman State in Missouri. And there's a Daily Beast article on the same subject that says it's called Death Obsessed Missouri Frat Brothers Advice Pushed Five People to Kill Themselves, Lawsuit Claims, which is a very Daily Beast-ish article.
Yes.
Where they put the juiciest stuff up top and they said, or did he? At the end.
The New Yorker says, a mysterious suicide cluster. Young people in a Missouri college town kept killing themselves. A parent of one victim is convinced that her son's friend encouraged the deaths. Has a sinister figure been exposed, or is it a case of misplaced blame?
So the crux of it is that Brandon Grossheim was in this fraternity, and one of his fraternity brothers took his own life. And then a few months later, another one did. And then a few months after that, another one did. And Brandon happened to be in close proximity as far as finding the bodies.
He found the first two.
Yes.
And then he lived across the hall in an apartment complex from several others.
Mm-hmm. And all of the suicides occurred in the 2016-2017 academic year. And there was only 6,000 students in total. So five suicides is pretty.
Yes.
That's a pretty high
staggering.
Per capita.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
he also. So the first fraternity brother who passed away, Grossheim then began dating his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
After the young man died. And then in photos
wearing
on
his clothes.
Yes, he was seen wearing his clothes. Photos showed him wearing jewelry. Things that the victim's mother found disturbing and unnerving.
Well, he also did it with another, with the second one that took his own life as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother had said, please distribute his belongings from the frat house amongst friends that were close to him and would like him. So mm-hmm. he did have some permission from some, but others thought it was a little bizarre and that he sought out, not just dated the ex of one of the young men, but also kind of started taking on the mannerisms of them.
Mm-hmm.
And friends would say it was unnerving to be talking to him and you felt like you were still talking to our friend that's now dead because he'd kind of adopted these mannerisms. He also went into, I mean, understandably so, a huge depression. So he admittedly spiraled out of control with drugs and alcohol and, you know, his grades started tanking and everything. I imagine the first two suicides happened within a couple weeks of each other. So
yes.
Within a couple weeks, he had found two of his friends had hanged themselves and he had to lift their bodies up and bring them.
Yes.
And so, I mean, very, very traumatic and heavy stuff to deal with.
They did say that he was stroking the face of the first victim, which I think a lot of the things that have been portrayed in the civil lawsuit have tried to be portrayed as some creepy mm-hmm. weirdo, but perhaps he was close to the guy who took his own life. So he was, you know, you can't save him, but maybe you're like, it's okay, buddy, you know, try to comfort him or something.
Sure. Yeah. They also even wanted to keep an eye. They had like a midnight meeting the frat brothers did, saying we got to keep an eye on him because we're worried mm-hmm. he's not going to take his own life. He claims, though, that it was kind of all smoke and mirrors and that they weren't really as concerned about him as they claimed to be. Mm-hmm. And they ended up telling him he could no longer be a member of the fraternity. And that's when we moved to the apartment complex. But then weird stuff started happening at the apartment complex, too.
That's true, too. And so it kind of followed him around to the point where police.
Which is creepier to walk into? A mummified body or a newly dead body?
Oh, mummified.
Yeah, right?
The mind reels at what's been going on from time of death until present.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I guess. But if it's fresh, then they still look like they would have looked. So mm-hmm. that might be more sad or more emotional, but I think it would be mm-hmm. more scary and freaky if you walk in, you see someone's teeth coming out their lips.
Yeah.
The missing eyes. Because there's, even if you're mummified, you're still kind of yourself, right? Your skin's just kind of like stretched and pulled.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think obviously she'd been dead for a couple weeks, so that's going to contribute to her skin color. But the fact that she'd been just sucking down colloidal silver.
You're really
like
not
it
supposed
was
to suck
milk,
that down.
Yeah. That turns your skin blue.
Mm-mm. That's why she turned that color.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, I think if you're in law enforcement, you're trained to enter a room. And if someone has, you know, recently had their life taken, then you say, okay, step one, do this. Step two, do mm-hmm. this. When you walk in and it's a goddamn mummy, you're like, well, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, take a minute.
Yeah. According to the affidavit, Carlson's mummified remains were found in a back bedroom on the south side of the house. She was lying on a bed wrapped in what appeared to be a sleeping bag. Lamboy had told officers that her eyes were missing, but officers were not warned of the
glitter type makeup.
that had been applied around her empty eye sockets. Set up as some type of shrine, Carlson's mummified remains were decorated with Christmas tree lights and could be seen from the hallway between the kitchen area and the living area of the house. While it is unclear exactly when Carlson died, the New York Times reported that the coroner's initial analysis stated she had been dead
4 weeks or more.
So how do you mummify someone?
That's a very good question. I mean, without access to, I think about embalming, right? Where you remove the blood and then you put in the fluids. When we mummified Cornish game hens in school.
Is this really something y'all did?
Oh, yes. In sixth grade, when we studied Egypt, our teacher had us mummify Cornish game hens. And we put pieces of cheesecloth in preservative liquid, which I can't exactly remember what it was.
Like
and
chloroform?
Then,
no, it wouldn't be chloroform.
I don't think they let kids play with that.
Plus, that also would be, you don't need that on somebody when they're dead. It's something like that, though. Not chlorophyll. Yeah. That's what's in plants.
No, yeah, that's your...
Man, I slept through science. I'll tell you that right now.
Chlorophyll? Borophyll? That's the only thing I know about chlorophyll is from the movie. But I know that we went over... This is what I don't understand about Amy Carlson, except for the removal of the eyes. Because when we were in school and we were taught how to mummify a person, which, why? It was part of history. But I remember we had to talk about, you stick the hook up the nose and yank the brain out. Then you have to take all the organs out. So we did this. We cut the Cornish game hens out and scooped them out. If the guts weren't already scooped out, they may have been already scooped out.
Were these like Cornish game hens you'd buy in the deli section of Albertsons?
Or yeah, like the grocery store. I mean, they're Cornish game hens and mini chicken.
Yeah, but they were like ones, they were already defeathered and all that? Or were they
Correct. There was no actual animal?
Okay.
No, they were defeathered.
You know what I mean by actual animal.
Yeah.
Like when you get a frog to dissect, it wasn't like a frog that had been skinned that you could eat right away.
No, it wasn't like the rat that I... taxidermy. Okay. No. And then you're supposed to take all, you know, in Egypt, you put them in the canopic jars or whatever, but you're supposed to take the stuff out, the guts out, of the person when you mummify them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pretty sure they pack it with alcohol, salt, like stuff to suck the goo out, like suck all the moisture out of the body and leave it for a long time, you know, 40 days or a month or more. And then that's whenever they like wrap it in all the bandages and stuff like that. So I don't understand with her if they had, I have not heard any new information coming out. I believe the autopsy, according to our insider DM source, the toxicology results are pending and the autopsy is ongoing. And so I don't know if they, when they say they mummified the body, they clearly removed the eyes, but did they just pour, were they just pouring some type of preservative liquid on her? Mm. Or did they genuinely go through that mummification process where they cut open her body, took the organs out to preserve the leftover corpse? I don't, because if she's
I can't
still,
imagine they did that.
Probably not. I imagine they probably just covered her in some type of, they said she was wrapped in a sleeping bag, which I'm thinking probably was to keep all the goo parts together.
But they had to have done something because it never said decomposing body.
No, it
was
said mummified
corpse.
So they must have covered her in something. So that part is TBD on if the information's been released, what they poured on her.
Yeah. So you think that they removed her eyes themselves? They didn't just fall out?
I would think so, because that, I think your eyes without blood go into them, get all mushy and gross. I mean, it's all decomposition. So any soft tissue they would have to take out. Otherwise, it starts decomposing, or I guess pour whatever liquid they're, whatever preservative liquid they're using. I mean, these people are wild. Who knows? They freaking poured vinegar on her or something. You know, we don't, whatever you use to pickle something.
Well, because they did get charged with tampering with a corpse.
Yes. So, abuse of a corpse.
And maybe that's because they removed her eyes.
Well, abuse of a corpse under Colorado law is, it didn't take a whole lot to be accused of or convicted of abuse of a corpse. It's all you have to do is remove the body from a grave or somewhere else or treat the body or the remains of a person, quote, in a way that would outrage normal family sensibilities.
Okay.
So is wrapping
check
somebody.
And check.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as her kid will hear from later, it seems this, what was done to her body seems to outrage some folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mother God was not alone in the house, unfortunately. There were two children also present, a 13-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy. The sheriff's warrant identifies the 2-year-old boy as Lamboy's son and notes that
there is an ongoing complaint with the Sawatch County Department of Social Services in regards to Mr. Lamboy and the child.
Lamboy told sheriff's deputies that the people in the house would not let him take his son with him when he left to report the body. The 13-year-old girl was identified as the daughter of Karen Raymond. Luckily, officers described both children as in
good health
and noted they were both sleeping at the time the search was conducted. This is fucking how you get Dexter.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so... Oh, man. The 13-year-old especially, like, you... She 100% saw that multiple times.
Do you remember the first dead body you saw?
Well, if you liked what you heard, consider supporting the show on Patreon by heading to sinisterhood.com and clicking Patreon in the top banner.
Thanks for listening and keep it creepy. Sinisterhood.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.